The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You said no salad at dinner?
Oh, yeah. Isn't that weird? A pizza place.
Now it's less weird, just so you know.
But I think most people love a salad with their pizza.
Oh, hey, guys. Man, I'm telling you, this pizza idea is really going to happen.
This is the thing where you go and you have to make your own pizza.
Yeah, we give you the dough.
No salad at a pizza place is a deal breaker?
Yes.
I have to be honest. I have never had a salad with my pizza.
I have to have a salad with my pizza.
You smash it, you pound it, you fling it up in the air, and then you get to put your sauce and you get to sprinkle your cheese, and then you slide it into the oven.
Very good pizza, lasagna, the wine, absolutely horrible.
No, 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 no.
Horrible.
You're not allowed. No. Yeah.
It's
no,
almost
no.
Undrinkable
You're
for me.
You know, you have to know how to do that. You can't have people shoving their arms into a 600-degree oven.
It's all supervised.
Oh, well.
Oh, you want to invest?
My money's tied up in change.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
I will give you this, big guy.
What's that?
I think my wife might be on the same salad pizza plate.
I'm over it.
Okay.
But you guys didn't hear what I said yesterday. You don't like my salad with pizza? Well, you know it doesn't go together? Doesn't go together at all.
Pizza and ranch dressing?
Grilled cheese and tomato soup.
What? Okay. Okay. Now,
it doesn't. It's tuna fish and tomato soup because of the dipping into the soup of the tuna. You don't dip grilled cheese into tomato soup.
Yeah, you do.
No. I mean,
this is crazy.
I'm not listening to you.
But I was just about to come to your defense.
Okay, I'll listen
with
to you.
The salad thing, and then you decide to dive headfirst into probably your third or fourth worst food take of all time. You've got a lot of bad food takes.
No, I do not. Borscht is fine.
Cheddar's not a top 10 cheese. Borscht, it's
okay. See, the thing about borscht,
food, but it's only okay.
Gabe, the thing about borscht is it's healthy for you. It's good.
Yeah.
You know what's not good for you? You know what's not good for you? Beer cheese soup is not good for your body. Okay?
Yeah, correct.
Borscht is a liver cleaner, which I need from time to time. Okay?
But again, your whole... It's one of my favorite foods.
It is okay. My favorite food.
But like... The way you try to talk people into it, like you need to be a better salesman. It's a good thing you're on the radio instead of like, you know, one of those people up there who's trying to convince people to spend money on the radio.
I think most people don't like vinegar.
Ooh. I'm not a big vinegar guy, but
Me neither. But
my guess is probably like 50-50.
Like, what do you use vinegar for?
About the only thing, I rarely use like straight up vinegar. I'll use a little bit of apple cider vinegar when I'm making like a buffalo sauce.
Okay.
You know, again.
No, but like broccoli, I'll just take a bowl of apple cider vinegar and dip my broccoli in that and eat it.
Okay. So you don't like vinegar, but apple cider vinegar you're okay with?
Yes. Okay. The other vinegar you clean with. Right? I don't think you should be ingesting it. I
mean, you're pickling things with it as well.
Well, you know? Pickles. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, you got that.
Everyone loves pickles.
The acidic value of it when you're making food.
Once again, very good for you. I know, like, the Blammer, shot of vinegar in the morning. I don't know why, but he takes a shot of vinegar in the morning.
Is it apple cider vinegar? Because I've heard of people,
okay, I was about to say, if you're just taking a shot of straight up vinegar.
Yeah, it lowers something. I don't know what.
We're not going to do the research and figure that out.
It's above my pay grade.
You had yesterday off. You should be refreshed. I'm the only one that's goddamn working, working around here.
Jiminy Christmas. He might not be tomorrow after that.
5 minutes in, and Josh has to hit the dump button. Off to a hell of a start on Dude Wednesday.
You might have Thursday off after that performance here, buddy.
Okay, moving on.
Okay, well, it seems like you got something you want to get off your chest.
No, I'm just saying.
You're the only one who's been here all 3 days this week. I took off. I was on vacation. Josh, he took Tuesday off. Jen is not here today.
Yeah, I think right now my batting average is I should be batting third right now, is where I should be batting. When it comes to work at this station, yes. Although four is cleanup, so.
But you think you're cleaning up? I mean, look.
You're not the cleanup guy.
I'm putting you three because you put your superstar three.
Look,
I'll put you at
when
three.
When it comes to days off this year, someone is in the clear lead.
Okay.
And then you're second.
Excuse
gap.
Me.
And then I'm third. And then Joshy is probably gap four. So me and Joshy are the only ones holding the four down, really.
I'm willing to bet that you and I have the similar number of days off.
Not even close. I'm at like seven.
You took an entire week.
That's only five.
Yeah. Then we've had the
I was sick.
Pizza incidents.
I was kind of sick.
We had you not showing up because you were hungover.
Allegedly.
It's an important word.
I didn't know that we get sick days. I was informed by the bosses yesterday that we get sick days.
But you've taken sick days.
You didn't hear yet. Ashton took his first sick day Monday ever because he was hung like a buffalo.
Yeah, did you hear
on
this
a boat?
One?
So I saw, I did not hear any of the show, but you know, you open up Twitter every once in a while and you see the poll questions that are being, you know, thrown out to people. I saw the Chewy pizza and salad thing on Monday, Ashy being off. Yeah, I mean, look.
Did you hear why Ashy was off?
Well, yeah, he had a boat day on Sunday.
Where he got tanked.
Yeah.
And he didn't do well on the boat and he got sunburnt.
Oh, he didn't do well on the boat?
No, he threw up.
I believe he pre-called in. He at like 5 p.m.
Yes.
Said, hey, not going to make it to work.
Which you got to appreciate.
You know what? Hey, you know what?
Right?
Good for him. I feel like that's a moment of growth for our guy. Can you imagine him doing that before he met you?
But the guilt is just eating him up inside.
Oh, 1,000%.
I think he worked 24 hours straight.
Yesterday. To make up for it.
I mean, yeah. The 15-hour warning on I'm not feeling good enough for work.
Yeah, that's pretty
crazy.
Good.
Look.
Yeah, but he's really a moron because he's pale as snow and he doesn't use sunscreen. So there was an element of sun poisoning
there. I'm sure, yeah. Because he didn't put on any sunscreen?
No.
Okay.
He never does. Yeah, he ain't real bright.
Yeah, apparently not.
So, okay, I got that off my chest. I feel better.
I will say this, because I pushed back on the notion of being excited for preseason. I pushed back on the notion of being excited for training camp. And Joshy, if you want to take your victory lap today, feel free. Because guess what? On Saturday, we get to see the Packers start.
You know why we're seeing the Packers starter?
Why is that?
Because listening to Jason, I don't have warm and fuzzies.
Really?
Yeah. I don't have warm and fuzzies. And I don't, Josh, you're kind of the same way.
I'm a little worried with the fact that we talked about the defense and I said I'm a believer in the defense. I'm eating the trash this time around. But the fact that they're dominating them does foretell a situation that we've gone through before of we got a defense now where the defense is going to lead us, which actually just meant the offense wasn't that good.
Well, Jason said the offensive line.
Circa 2022.
Yes.
He said the offensive line is not playing great, Bob. So, which would lead to the defense dominating.
Yeah.
You don't even need four. Pressure with three sometimes.
But it's just like, it's like, where's what happened to the gush of Luke Musgrave?
I don't know if I've heard Luke Musgrave's name once this preseason.
What happened to Devontavian Wicks competing for?
Compared him to Davante Adams. A lot of Davante Adams, Dontavian Wicks talk, so the fact that he wanted to call him Davante Wicks, I think, is fine. I'll stick up for him there. He got a little
Where
confused.
Is that push for the number one receiver?
Well, so I'm sure you guys talked about this last couple of days. I mean, in terms of the snaps he played.
Yeah, six snaps.
In the family night.
Yeah.
Just over a handful.
Yeesh.
I mean, we're probably a little neurotic right now, which is fine. Which
is you have to be.
But with the gush, remember the gush was just gushing like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Everyone's great. The lawn's great. Everyone's wonderful. We got a team full of all pros. Now it's kind of dipped a little bit. And I'm not buying. Look, do I think the defense will be better? Yes. Am I drinking the Kool-Aid? No. Because I drank it for the last 4 years.
Well, because, I mean, it's hard to be as bad as they were. Right?
Yeah. Well, as soft as they were.
Sure. Which defensively is not a good thing.
No.
When you don't have dominant players. So I'm expecting a step forward, but I'm also expecting growing pains.
Kickers? I mean, this is turning into a train wreck. They both missed kicks in the two-minute drill to win the game. I know it was windy, but you know what it is in October in Lambeau Field? It's windy.
You know what it's like in December in Lambeau?
Yeah, cold.
And windy.
And windy.
Cold and windy.
But the fact that they got, I mean, I saw they brought in three kickers to work out.
Yeah.
That's never a good thing.
So right now, in terms of that positional battle, I mean, right now, Greg Joseph's in the clear lead, right?
Well, I just read you this. Yeah, he's 40 of 45 in kicks during training camp, and Carlson is 36 of 45. So, that's...
40 of 45 is fine. Like, would you like 42 out of 45? Probably, but I'd settle for 40 out of 45 in a regular season. What are you smiling at, Joshy?
I just went to retweet the poll of which sandwich goes better with tomato soup. We are 11 votes in. 100% of them say grilled cheese over tomato soup, over tuna sandwich.
Take the poll in Boston, please. Our sister station in Boston, can you please take a poll there for crying out loud?
What do you want? You just want us to just start tweeting at the...
No, I want a war. I've been watching The Americans. I'm a spy for ESPN Boston. Okay?
You want us to just start tweeting at EEI out there?
Gabe, I know you're not going to do it, but you won a member guest finally over the weekend.
Yeah, we did. Hell yeah.
Does Gabe know?
But, hold on. Pump the brakes.
Uh-oh.
He said it was all because of his partner, not him.
Oh, I can show you. But I know we've tweeted it out from... I tweeted it out from my personal account. I know the ESPN Milwaukee account tweeted it out. But my buddy, Tom Lee, he's invited me. We were trying to figure it out. Like the last 5 or 6 years, I've gone to Madison to play. We've never made the shootout. For those who don't know how member guests work, 60 members, they bring a guest. You have 10 different pods flights, with six groups. You win, you go to a shootout, and the shootout is alternate shot. And the way they do it there, it's 10, 11, 12, and then 18 are the four holes for the shootout. I ended up hitting the tee shot on all the holes because it was true alternate shot, which we did not know. Again, never been in this, so we just thought, oh, like when you watch on the Ryder Cup and they play alternate shot, it's, okay, one guy tees off in the odd holes, one guy tees off in the even holes. No, this was just true alternate shot, so whoever hit the putt in, next guy tees off.
Yeah.
Which worked out for us because if you've ever been out at Blackhawk, which, great event, great staff. Shout out to my guy Derek Schnarr for putting on a great event. It's a short golf course. So I'm hitting three woods into these par fours, getting them up by the green, and then we're just making easy pars and advancing. And then my buddy on the last hole, it's a par three, little up the hill. I just hit a shot in the middle of the green. He buries a 25-footer to win.
Wow.
A curling 25-footer.
Did you win any cabbage?
There was some money, yeah.
Okay.
A little bit of money online. We don't need to discuss necessarily how much.
No, I know, but would you rather win the cabbage or win the championship? More cabbage, I'm saying.
Oh,
it's all about the money.
It's also, because like I didn't play great.
Yeah.
But we ham and egged it. Like when he wasn't getting strokes, I played well. When he was getting his strokes, he was making, 4 for 3s, 5 for 4s.
That's a nice trophy.
Yeah.
That's a real nice trophy.
So here's the odd part. So, well, first of all, couple things. My buddy could not partake in any sort of celebration. He had to sprint out of there after he won this event because he was going to see the Killers at Lollapalooza. So he like just booked it out of there so he could make it down to Chicago in time.
So did you stay?
I stayed for a little bit, hanging out with some, because like I said, I've played 5 or 6 years there. I've gotten to know some, some different people over the years. And so I'm sitting in their bar and their head pro comes up to me and sets down this giant box. I'm like, the hell is that? He goes, this is a popcorn maker. This is yours. And he walks away. I go, huh? So then Derek Schnarr, who's I've known since, I worked in Madison, so I've known Schnarr for 15 years at this point. he's the director of golf. He comes up, he goes, yeah, I've got one of these in my house. Everybody loves it. So I just order, if you win, you know, I order two every year. And if you win, you get this popcorn maker.
Was it the popcorn maker that was stolen out of the closet here? That mysteriously showed up there?
That was a pizza maker.
I thought it was a popcorn different maker, sorry.
But I don't know what I'm going to do with a popcorn maker. Like, I brought it home, and my wife's like, can you put that in the basement? No.
So you don't eat popcorn?
We do, but like, oh, I do. My wife doesn't really. But there's like no good place to put it in my house. I haven't assembled it yet. I haven't had time because I turned around and went right up to Island Resort Casino.
I've been at your house, Gabe. I think you buy that a little stand on the, if you walk in from the back door, the left side of your house, there's some space there.
There is. Right by the record player.
Right there. Look at that. You got popcorn 24/7.
Yeah.
Nothing better than having a couple brewskis with a little popcorn. Watching a little salty. Movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where it's at.
I'm excited to try this thing out. I knew the exact reaction I would get when I brought that in.
Yeah.
You know, it's a big box. I set it down in our island in our kitchen. And I was like, the hell's that? It's a popcorn maker.
What's this look like?
And she goes, well, can you take that to the basement? Like, no, we got to at least try it out.
Yeah.
But I knew she would not want that anywhere in our house.
Yeah, I think it needs to just become a feature. You just become the popcorn house.
Yeah, that, which is fine. Again, if it makes good popcorn, like, I'm fine with that.
It's always better out of those machines.
Oh, yeah.
Always. You can cook it on your stove, your oven, whatever.
You can get the microwave popcorn.
It's fine. Microwave is the bottom tier there for sure. But the machine just does it better. It's just a more quality
fresh
popcorn.
Is you can't beat it.
So I'm excited to try it out. My wife, but you
not
know,
so much.
I was waiting around to get the cash. The great part is, so our pod, our grouping loved it because they do a feature there where if you throw in $100 and somebody from your flight wins, your entire flight, as long as you put in the $100, splits all the other money from all the other flights. So then it gives, you know, an extra reason. So, like, they were walking around handing out the envelopes of cash. A couple of guys were, Leon Neitzel, because they, you know, they won.
That does explain the
amount of money.
Extra cheers, because people were fired up for you. It was a great putt by your friend.
It was a great putt.
But some, like, literally some of those guys are the ones also competing, so they're not as thrilled about
that. Well, so, once you get to that, there's just two groups. So it was us and one other group because they pair it off. So we started with 11 on 10. They get it down to 5 on 11. And then there are just three. So then you know you're in the money in terms of the parimutuel betting, win, play, show on the 12th hole, which is a par 5. And then when you get to the last hole, there's just two teams left. And he made the putt. And I think part of the reason why everybody was excited as well, because last year at this event, it's a hard par 3. And then they, you know, they trick out the pin. They put it all the way on the right there. A 6 won that hole last year. It was par 3. 6 won the hole. So to walk it off with a 25-foot putt, I think everybody was pretty pumped about that.
Yeah. See, I go the other way. I played one time, and my partner missed a 4-footer, and I told him he sucked. And he pouted the rest of the night. You suck, right? Is that fair?
It's fair. I mean
it's not going to help you win.
I don't know if you want to
but
do
it
that
was
to your
over.
Partner.
We were out. What do I care? You know? Yeah, I'm a tough guy to play with.
You know, we hear...
I've heard some stories about you in Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
Self-praised stink PU guy here and like Mr.
No,
Teamwork.
They call me front-running Jesse, because if I ain't playing well, no one's playing well.
Guess who just decides to sit in the cart for a couple holes?
That is true. I will bring your game down.
Bring everybody down with you. Still have more things to get with the Green Bay Packers because guess what? The general manager was on Adam Schefter's podcast, had some interesting things to say. We dive into that coming up next. But all this food talk has me thinking about Palermo's Pizza because you always want to make sure you've got some Palermo stocked in the freezer. Maybe you're going on vacation. You come back. You don't want to make dinner. Maybe you're just, you know, it's the summer. You're running around. You always want something good, though, that tastes great for dinner. And that's where Palermo's comes in. And if you've got a family, trust me, Palermo's has something for every appetite. Whether we're talking about Palermo's, Urban Pie, Connie's, Surfer Boy Pizza, Screamin' Sicilian, all those brands under the Palermo's umbrella. And they've been doing this for 60 years, so of course they know what they're doing when it comes to frozen pizza. So make sure you're keeping an eye out in the grocer's frozen food aisle. Palermo's flavor is our family's business.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Hey, everyone who I let try borscht likes it. They don't love it, but it's it's a liver.
What an endorsement.
This is your pitch.
But hold on.
Hey, Jen, like, guys, good luck. I don't even have to talk anymore.
On 94.5 ESPN. Just let me cry.
Chew.
Yeah. I don't care.
This is a bad look, bud.
I don't care. Don't care.
So we tweeted out 14 minutes ago, what sandwich goes better with tomato soup, grilled cheese or tuna sandwich? We are at 88 votes. 100% of the people.
I really don't. They've turned on me. When did they turn on me? Oh, well, they turned with the pizza and salad. Just not true.
Now that we mentioned it, someone's going to screw it up, but I do want to all of us to remember 80 plus votes, zero.
80.
We've avoided people misclicking.
Where's my buddy from Staten Island or Brooklyn? He's got to be a tuna guy.
88 consecutive.
Doesn't bother
yes
me at
votes.
All.
Not at all. Not even a little bit. To be this wrong.
Do you want me to swear?
Okay. All right. Well, moving along.
Okay.
We don't need to go two for two with you cursing on the radio.
That one just kind of came out of somewhere inside my body.
That one was pure. That one.
Yeah, that was a 480-yard bomb.
Yeah, it was just, it was right that there. It just
hit a flush.
Packers general manager Brian Gutekunst appeared yesterday on Adam Schefter's podcast. Funny enough, we're going to be talking with Shefty in about 5 minutes here. But he said something interesting because, Chewy, you're always talking about windows. Is the window open? How big is the window in terms of championships? When are the championship windows for teams? And here's what Goody had to say about that.
At the end of the day, you know, those guys got to come together. And as far as your question about the windows, I don't know if we've ever really believed in that around here. The way we build our teams and the way we kind of look at things is that, you know, we're going to try to be competitive each and every year, regardless. And, you know, around here, those expectations don't ever change, right? So, but we do feel good. We do have a little bit more stability contractually with some of our players than we've had in the past. And that's exciting.
Do you believe him? I mean, he has known to tell a white lie every now and then. It's not sustainable to have a reset at some point in time. You know, I think San Francisco they're feeling that window closing. Obviously, if they're trading Ayuk, their best receiver, they can't get it done. They can't get it done from a money standpoint, right? Because they got Purdy coming up that they're going to have to pay a lot of money to. You just can't get it done. So if these receivers pan out where three of the young kids are really, you can't keep them all.
Correct.
Right? There has to be a reset.
Mm-hmm. So. You have to replenish that position. It's always, you know, but by the time the Packers made the NFC Championship game in 2014, after making it in 2010 when they went to the Super Bowl, those teams looked radically different. Now, they were competitive, very competitive, in every year in between that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some years were better than others, but you had a little bit of a reset before those windows kind of opened. I think you could say the same thing about the Patriots. When they were going through, I mean, the Patriots didn't win Super Bowl for 10 years.
Yeah. We'll just go back to Devontae. They clearly couldn't pay him what he wanted because they knew Aaron was coming up.
They refused to pay him what he wanted. They could have paid him.
You think so?
Mm-hmm. Man, the cap is all funny money. They could have figured it out.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I've been harping that if the Jets want to be the best, they should take a run at Ayuk or Devontae Adams or...
Yeah, I think you can figure it out now. Eventually, you got to pay at some point. But in the middle of it, you don't necessarily
like Buffalo. Buffalo, I feel Buffalo has no chance really of maybe a small chance of winning the Super Bowl this year because they're in a soft reset.
Yeah, I mean, with the receivers, they don't know what's going on there. Defensively, they had to get rid of some safeties. But yeah, I fully expect them to still be a good team. But I don't think they're an upper echelon Super Bowl team unless a lot of those pieces come together.
Yeah.
We do have to get to Adam Schefter. We'll get his reaction to that. I do want to update you on the poll. Somebody has finally voted for tuna sandwich. 122 votes in, 98.4% of people are saying grilled cheese, and 1.6% of people are saying tuna. So I think you maybe have two votes.
That's my Staten Island guy. Yes. Call your friends.
I don't say this a lot on here, but whoever screwed that up, I hate you. We had a good thing going.
We did have a really
I knew it was going to happen, and I just want that person to know specifically hate you.
All right. Well,
I mean, my own guys are piling on me. What is this? Is it because of the golf thing? Because I told a guy, nice choke, and you're trying to get back at me? I mean, what the hell's going on here?
Wait, you're getting personal texts about this terrible take?
I just like records.
I know my phone's blowing up.
Well, that's probably because you're talking in that somehow tuna sandwich is better than grilled cheese with tomato soup. We've got to get to Adam Schefter. He's coming up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Everyone's go-to source for all NFL news.
Adam Schefter teased some big breaking news. Adam, you've told us about it. What do we got?
Adam's on the phone. Adam, yeah, you got more news? What do you got?
They're going with another move.
And here is the man who knows all, Adam Schefter.
And we're going to get right to some breaking news here that just came down. This tweet from Adam Schefter.
It's ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter.
Each side gets wins, right? They have Jordan Love under contract for the next 5 years. Let's get this deal in the books. Let's get it done the way we want, structure it. If you're Jordan Love, you're banking all that guaranteed money. You're set. You're set for life. So, again, I think both sides win.
Adam Schefter on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is presented by Orthopedic Associates of Wisconsin. There is a difference. Also sponsored by Island Resort and Casino.
Always excited every Wednesday to talk to our guy, Adam Schefter. But specifically, we're really excited today because you had a pretty special guest on your podcast yesterday, Adam.
Yeah, we had the Packers general manager, Brian Gutekunst, and he talked about the extension with Jordan Love, the roster he's built, playing the opening Friday night game in Brazil against the Eagles. We touched on a number of topics, and hopefully all Packers fans we'll listen to their general manager on the Adam Schefter podcast today.
Well, what was your biggest takeaway with your conversation with Goody?
A few things. I think, first of all, you know, he stuck to the process. He's been kind of the same guy all along. What was interesting to me, it was funny. I just thought he's quite pleased about the fact that they're not playing that game against the Eagles in Philadelphia. Like, okay, we have to go to Brazil. No problem. We have to play Brazil Friday night. Well, that's better than having to go to Philadelphia to play the Eagles in front of those fans. So I thought that was entertaining. And obviously, he stood behind, believed in Jordan Love, and put his money where his mouth was last week or a couple of weeks ago in signing him to that new deal.
Adam, the Aiyuk potential trade, and I'm not talking about where he may go. Why is San Fran willing to trade him? Is it they don't feel he's worth the money? They don't have the money because they're going to have to pay Purdy in a year or two? What's the reasoning behind it, you think?
Well, I think you look at it, and it's like this. They've spent all offseason trying to re-sign the guy, and they've been unable to do it. So these two sides have spent weeks, months together trying to get a deal done, can't get a deal done. At one point, it looked like they were close to getting a deal done. Then they weren't. Then he demands a trade, which I don't think the organization, you know, probably was overly pleased by. Like, it's not great when one of your star players is coming out asking for a trade for training camp. And then you show up to camp and you're holding in. Now, I know that's part of business, and he should be doing whatever he can to procure his new contract. But he asked for a trade and a new deal. And they provided him with that. And there are certain places that he hasn't wanted to go. So it just I just think the relationship has built up a lot of it's taken on a lot of water over the last 3, 4, 5 months, right? He's been very public, statements, podcasts, actions. And so I feel like they feel like that they've tried to work with him, and what they've tried to do hasn't worked. So it's like, what do you do about that? And it's a situation that I think everybody's stumped by right now. And that's kind of where we're at.
If they do lose him, Adam, does that knock them out of the top spot in the NFC?
Out of the top spot? Look, you know, I think they're going to be a good team. But I'm a big believer in vibes at a camp and vibes going into a season. And this is a team that's missing its left tackle. its star running back now has a calf injury that's probably going to end this preseason. Their wide receiver, where they're not all that deep with or deep at to begin with, you know, he may not be with them. He may be traded. And if he's not traded and he's staying, we've seen he's not going to be a happy guy right now, right? Like, so, you know, if you're a 49ers fan, you can't really say that what's gone on there summer has been positive, because it's not. You know, you're looking for a quiet camp, nice and easy, and it just hasn't unfolded that way.
One of the things that Brian Gutekunst said to you yesterday, Adam, was that he doesn't necessarily believe in championship windows. You've been around the game for a minute or two. Do you agree with that philosophy and think that there are championship windows in the NFL?
Well, there are windows. Some that stay open shorter or longer than others. I believe that when you've got a franchise quarterback, there's no such thing as a window. It's just there every year. Like when I covered the Broncos for almost 16 years, they may not have had a great team every year, but they were going to have a chance to get to the playoffs and advance in the playoffs as long as John Elway was quarterback. And the same thing with Brett Favre in Green Bay or Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. And we think that that's where they could be with Jordan Love. We don't know that yet, but it certainly looked positive last year. So if you have a quarterback like that, one of the upper echelon quarterbacks in the National Football League, I think your window's open every year. Every year, period. Right? Like, there's no reason if you have a upper echelon quarterback that you shouldn't be competing for a title every year. It doesn't mean you're going to win one. Of course not. Like, Joe Burrow's still trying to win one. Josh Allen's still trying to win one. Lamar Jackson's still trying to win one. I got it. You know, Patrick Mahomes has become something of a Michael Jordan-like figure, blocking others' paths to the championship and preventing them from achieving some of the glory that they otherwise would get if they played in a different era. But if you've got a great quarterback, your window is open as long as you have that great quarterback.
Adam, where do you stand on veterans playing in the preseason? We just learned, I believe yesterday, that Jordan Love and other veterans are going to start against Cleveland on Saturday. Where do you stand on that?
No, I'm going to ask you your answer after, but I'm going to answer it first for you. And here's what I would say. I've covered the NFL for 35 years. I've seen teams like the Rams not play any regulars and go on to the Super Bowl. I've seen teams put people out there and get hurt, and people like, why are you playing that guy in this meaningless preseason game? I've seen teams not play anybody and then start slow. Like, we look at what the Bengals have done. You know, Joe Burrow hasn't really had any kind of preseason work between COVID, ACL, calf, contract, all sorts of things, and he's been a typically slow starter. I don't think that there is a right or wrong formula. I think it's what works for everybody. Saying that, if I were in charge of a football team, which I am not, I would be very reticent and leery about playing my guys too much in the preseason. I think in my perfect world, my starting offense is going out for a series. They're going up that field for a touchdown, and I'm putting them on the bench after a 7-play, 63-yard drive for a touchdown. Like that, in my mind, is the perfect scenario. Just give them a little taste of action. Mm-hmm. But I'm not a big believer in preseason. I'd rather err to the side of caution than exposing the guys. It's a long enough year as it is. There's not a lot to gain. And as a player, you can answer this better. In week one, when you play in Brazil or wherever you're playing, you're going to be sucking air anyway.
Yeah.
Period. Whether you play a series or two or not at all in the preseason. Am I right, Chewy?
No, you're right. I just needed it personally because I approached it like this, Adam. I had to get up, and you take supplement. Most guys take supplements before the game to get them up, right? So I would do that in a preseason game, not because it mattered, not because it's a big game, because the fact that if you go out onto that field and you're not ready to play, you can get seriously hurt. So you have to approach it the exact same way as a regular season game. Like, you know, if I go into this thing and la-di-da-di-da, I'm going to get lit up by a safety, drop the ball, and could get seriously hurt. So that's why, I mean, you adjust, because new supplements, I mean, this may sound funny, but new supplements come out every year, and you may try a new supplement before a game, and you might not like it. I've had that before. I'm like, ooh, man, this stuff makes me jittery. I do not like it. So I would have to, I would get tuned up from that standpoint, even though I was only going to play maybe a series or two. But you approach the start of the game the exact same way.
Right.
Holmgren, and Holmgren would always say, Adam, he would always, we would always have to play one series into the second half because he wanted you to be prepared for that lull in the locker room.
Right.
And be prepared to come out.
Right. He wanted you to get used to that, right? Go through a long locker room, see what it's like to have to rev your body back up after being in the locker room for 20 minutes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And again, I don't think there's a right or wrong answer in any of this. I don't love exposing my guys too much in the preseason. I do think that.
And I get
it. You know what, Chewy? Yeah. Deal with it in week one. You know, I know you might not be adjusted to taking your supplements. I know you might not be adjusted to – you know, halftime oranges or whatever it is you're doing at halftime, and halftime IV to get out there and take the 20. I don't know. To me, like, we're gonna learn and adapt on the fly. You're a pro. You've done this a long time. You know what it's like. You're going to have to get back on that bike and go ride it again starting that Friday night in Brazil.
So I think a lot of people agree with you, Adam. I think a lot of teams take that approach. So because of that, I think we've seen, especially here in Packerland, the Packers have two joint practices. Joint practices against two teams this year, Broncos, Ravens. That's the new wave of the future, right? These joint practices.
No, it's not the new wave. It's the wave of the present day where coaches can control the environment and control the scrimmage. You're like, you know, I was at the Giants-Lions yesterday, and they practiced last year. Now, both days turned into boxing matches with brawls breaking out. Mm-hmm. But fact of the matter is they're playing Thursday night, and by the time they get to Thursday night, you know, the teams view it, okay, Detroit's like, we're coming to New York. Let's go practice against them for a few days. We have the game Thursday night. By the time you get to that Thursday night preseason game, honestly, they might as well just cancel it, but that's a game – for the bottom of the roster guys fighting for their roster spots to try to make some sort of statement, catch somebody's attention to try to win a roster spot. But you're not going to see any regulars for either team because the coaches were able to put them in a controlled environment on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday before the Thursday night game.
Adam, what are you hearing coming out of Bears camp? Because they kind of scare me from the standpoint of, could this be the Houston Texans of 2023? I mean, what are you hearing about Williams, Caleb Williams?
Well, you know, the great part is we could watch him on Hard Knocks, right? So you're going to see more than I can tell you because those cameras are following those people. I know I'm going to be in Chicago in a couple of weeks. We have that fancy football convention. I'm going to go out to the Bears one day. But look, the guy, by all accounts, when you talk to front offices across the league, he's a generational type of talent. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to be a generational player, but he's got that type of ability. And now we wait to see whether he can do something that so few quarterbacks in Chicago have, which is turn into a big-time NFL quarterback. That has not been the norm. That has not been the case. And it'll be up to him to try to do that now.
Adam, before we let you go here, bud, want to ask you this. What sandwich goes better with tomato soup? Is it a grilled cheese sandwich or is it a tuna sandwich?
Oh, that's not even it. Grilled cheese goes with
Adam. What are you doing? You're an East Coaster. I mean, you didn't grow up with tuna fish and tomato soup. That was a staple. Fridays for lunch. Nothing?
Chewy.
Yeah.
I love tomato soup. I love tuna fish sandwiches. I don't think in my 57 years walking the face of this earth that I've ever had tomato soup and a tuna sandwich.
I'm out of here.
He really thought he is getting his ass kicked, Adam, on the poll. We put it on a poll, and 96% of people are saying grilled cheese sandwich. And I knew he was hoping that you would be on his side. And the fact that you aren't has just devastated him to the point where if you are watching on the YouTube stream, you just saw Chewy, he's done.
And the thing is, I love both. I love tomato soup and I love tuna sandwiches, but I don't love them together necessarily.
Yeah, it's just
I think that's where we all stand, to be quite frank.
Like, I had never heard of the combination of tuna fish in tomato soup until Chewy brought it up this morning. So, Adam, appreciate your time, buddy. Always love talking to you, especially during the football season. Well, we can't wait to talk to you next Wednesday.
Have a great week, guys. We'll talk to you next Wednesday, and hopefully Chewy decides to come back before then.
Yeah, no, I mean, who knows? We honestly don't know. We'll find out together. But Adam is brought to us by our friends at the Island Resort and Casino, a premier resort destination, the largest north of Milwaukee, with everything you like to do in one awesome location. You know how much I love being up. I was just up there. Great golf, great casino, great hotel, great option. So just visit islandresortsandcasino.com to book your total experience today.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Where else can you get football analysis that includes things like dropsies and picksies and intercepsies and flowy? It's flowy. Flowy. The offense needs to be more flowy.
On 94.5 ESPN.
I'm glad you decided to come back, buddy.
I have a compromise.
Okay.
Josh, are you listening?
Sure am.
I will admit, when it comes to tuna and tomato soup, I am completely wrong if you take down the poll.
We have to remove the poll?
Yes.
So,
it takes a big man to admit when he's wrong. I am not a big man.
So why do you want the poll to be taken down? Because you don't want it to be the most lopsided poll in ESPN Milwaukee history?
Yes, I don't want that. Yeah, that's not good, Bob. What's it at right now?
95.8 to 4.2.
And then what's been the most lopsided ever?
For the longest time.
Wasn't it you and Homer? Like
so Homer
90?
And I had one for the longest time. Are people dumb? I think we had one since then that has surpassed it.
There was a Skelzone breast pull.
Yeah, I can't remember specifically what it was. But you're in that territory right now of, So what do you say, Joshy? Do we take down the poll and accept the victory?
I'm going to have to stew on it for a second here.
All right, you got till 8:15. And then I'm retracting.
All right. So, the offer has been made. The offer is out there. We will decide at 8:15 if Joshy will accept. My guess is how the poll is doing is going to also have a lot of influence on Josh's overall decision. But I still want to just take a couple of minutes here, Chew, because the championship window thing from Gutekunst, I understand as a general manager, sometimes you probably just have to say that, right?
Yeah, sure.
But it's one of those things where, sure, I don't know if you actually believe that, because he has to know. Like, the Packers' championship window wasn't open last season, right? I mean, my guess is it's a little open this season.
I mean, they were close to going to an NFC championship game. Did we know it was open? Probably not. One of the kids opened it in the middle of the night.
Without your
but,
knowledge.
But, I mean, like, take Buffalo, for example. Their window is not as open as it was last year or the year before, correct? It's just not. Is it open? I mean, if we were to look at Vegas, the Bills' odds at winning are probably 8, 9, 10.
So I also think a part of this is believing in it. So I just go back to your team in the 90s.
Yes.
Wasn't open in 92. Wasn't open in 93.
No.
Wasn't open in 90. Was it open in 95 is the question. Because you guys went into San Francisco, you beat up on the defending champs, went to Dallas, a place that you always had trouble in. But even when you talk about that 1995 NFC Championship game, it almost seems like you were convincing yourselves that you could beat them. And then when you were up in the third quarter, it was like, holy crap, we can.
Well, go to the year before when we beat San Fran.
No, that is the
year. That is the year?
Yeah.
Because no, they blew us out in the championship game there, right?
You didn't make it to the championship game in 94. You got blown out because you beat...
In Dallas, that's right.
Yeah.
Alvin Harper with Terrell Buckley, yes.
In 94, you beat Detroit, held Barry to -1 yards, then went to Dallas, got boat raced.
Boat raced again.
Yeah, then you got boat raced again. And then in 95, you win at home, go to San Fran. I think you beat Atlanta at home,
yes.
Maybe? Beat Atlanta at home, beat San Fran, go to Dallas.
Yes.
Yeah, you hadn't won at Dallas regular season, postseason. But I've heard when you've talked about it before, it's been, We thought we could win, and then you realized you actually could when you were up going into the fourth.
But if they did power rankings back then, I would say we, because we only played 16 games, so we 14, 15, 16, we're in the top 10.
Oh, yeah.
We're in the top 10. So your window is open. How open? The problem was Dallas was so good.
Oh, yeah.
Dallas, that, but, that one of the Dallas years should rival Chicago as the best team to ever have played in the NFL. They might even surpass them.
Yeah, one of those 92-93.
Because their offense was so good. It was kind of reverse. Dallas's defense was good, very good. It wasn't the Bears' defense, but their offense was much better than the Bears' offense in 85. So that was part of the problem, that there was a gap.
Yeah.
Big gap. But the window was open.
But to kind of go, it didn't seem like you guys necessarily believed you could beat Dallas.
We didn't until that game.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
In
and
that
then,
game.
And then when you had that belief, you guys were really good in 96, 97. And to Adam's point about vibes and training camp, like I think having that belief right now, and we keep using the Buffalo Bills as an example, but if the Bills right now say, oh yeah, we're Super Bowl contenders right now, it seems like they're almost talking themselves into it versus if you heard that out of San Francisco, out of Detroit, out of Kansas City. I don't know if with the Packers saying, hey, we're Super Bowl contenders, I don't know if we're talking ourselves into that or if it's actually true. And it doesn't matter what we think. It's a matter of what they believe in that locker room. And that's what I would love to get some truth serum of. Because you have always said, you know. As a player, you know.
Yeah, like in 96, we knew. We knew we were the best team. We were probably top three power ranked, except for that little hiccup in the middle, throughout the entire year. And then going into the playoffs, we are clearly number one. But then you go, you bypass the Denver Super Bowl, and then you go to 98. We knew the window was closing.
Yeah.
We knew it was closing. You could just feel it. Because guys, Keith left, Sean Jones left, a lot of guys were leaving,
Eugene
and you
left.
Could feel it. So we knew, okay, we need, you know, as long as you have Brett, all you need is a soft reset. And I believe Ron has said he kind of screwed up those years because he didn't feed Brett.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't feed Brett. They went more to a running game back then with Amon Green because Amon was so good. And during that stretch of 2000 to whatever, who was their number one receiver? Billy Schrader? The cupboard was pretty bare, but they're still making playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
They go to, I believe, the Rams, and Brett throws
six picks,
and probably should have reset a little earlier. But the window is open for them.
Okay,
you know it's wide open when you're the top dog to win it all.
So it's slightly, you would say it's slightly open for the Packers.
I would say
right
it's
now.
Open.
Okay.
I would say it's open. I would say it's open. It's not all the way open. I don't think it'll be all the way open until next year, as long as these guys develop.
Well, so that's the thing. It's as long as these guys develop. Like that's, I still feel like so many things have to fall into place right now for this team.
Well, if they don't get any better, no, the window's just going to stay right there.
Yeah.
You know?
And it especially with everything happening in San Francisco. Like, if they don't figure that out, the NFC is going to be a lot more wide open than we initially thought.
Well, and then you have Dallas. I mean, Dallas was pretty damn good last year, even though we blew them out in the playoffs. But they got CD Lamb out. They got Dak with contract
issues.
They're
a dumpster fire. I'm not worried about the
Cowboys. Yeah, they're a little dumpster fiery. But how long? All right, let me ask you this. How open is Detroit's window?
I would say for the next 2 to 3 years. But
is their window this year open wider than Green Bay's?
Yes.
Not a lot.
Not a lot, but it's open wider.
But it's
wider.
A little more open.
It's open wider. They made it further last year. They've got players, I think, again, my issue right now with the Packers, and it's not really an issue. Who are the what's the blue chip talent? Who is the blue chip talent on this team?
Jordan Love.
Maybe.
Yeah, but you need more than
that's the problem. Like, I'm not saying, and I'm not even saying Jared Goff's blue chip talent. But I know Penei Sewell's blue chip. I know Amon-Ra St. Brown is blue chip. I know Aiden Hutchinson is blue chip. Like, the Packers still have some growth to do to establish those blue chip, top of the line, all pro type players.
You know what? You know what? The more you think about it, it's like, you know, all these contracts where they have outs.
Mm-hmm.
They got one in Josh Jacobs. They have one. Does that mean they really believe in him?
Yeah, you just always, this is the way NFL contracts
CYA?
Work.
CYA?
Yeah. This is the way NFL contracts work.
Okay.
You always give yourself outs.
And it's not going to come down, I mean, I hate to say it, it's going to come down to the receivers and tight ends on how good they are.
Yeah.
That's it. It doesn't matter about Jordan. Jordan's going to get him the ball, but you need, like you said, you need, I believe, to have a top 10 receiver.
Well, funny you should ask that, because I've got questions about what's going on with the wide receivers. But first, somebody wants to defend you, big guy.
I love it.
John in Milwaukee, 800-990-3776. You're on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, and you want us to lay off Chewy, John.
Yeah, man, you guys giving my guy a hard time there. I mean, as a New Yorker, you know, I don't always see eye to eye with Boston, but the salad and pizza thing, man, you can't be more on the money with that one.
You're the best, John. You know why, John? Because we're blue collar guys. We're not bougie,
right.
You know, grilled cheese and soup. We're meat and potatoes, lunch pail guys that are fine with tuna.
That's right.
Grilled cheese and tomato soup.
That's
is bougie.
Bougie, very bougie. John, you're the best. I love you. I might That's retract right, right now. John, did you vote by any chance? Vote 10 times, please.
Vote early, vote often. Alan, by the way, saying he votes for taking down the poll. He doesn't want us to embarrass the big guy with his grilled cheese, tuna sandwich, and tomato soup take. But I do want to dive into the wide receiver position for the Green Bay Packers. We do that in 2 minutes. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.